Our second scripture reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 18 through 23. Walking along the beach of Lake Galilee, Jesus saw two brothers, Simon, later called Peter, and Andrew, and they were fishing, throwing their nets into the lake. It was their regular work. And Jesus said to them, "Come with me. I'll make a new kind of fisherman out of you. I'll show you how to catch men and women instead of perch and bass." They didn't ask questions. They simply dropped their nets and followed. And a short distance down the beach, they came upon another pair of brothers, James and John, Zebedee's sons. And these two were sitting in a boat with their father Zebedee, mending their fish nets. Jesus made the same offer to them, and they were just as quick to follow, abandoning boat and father. And from there, he went all over Galilee. He used synagogues for meeting places and taught people the truth of God. God's kingdom was his theme, that beginning right now, they were under God's government, a good government. He also healed people of their diseases and of the bad effects of their bad lives. Here ends the reading. May God help us to really understand and apply God's will to our lives this very morning. You know, one of the many proud grandmothers in our church recently introduced me to two of her grandchildren that were here for the holidays, and they were two such cute little kids. So naturally I asked, "How old are they?" So she picked the little one up and she said, "This is the attorney." "He is two." And then the other one she pointed, she said, "This is the doctor. She's four." You know, further explanation was not necessary. That is how parents and us grandparents communicate. Why? Because we all have great dreams, expectations for the future of our generation and the next generation and all generations to come. Our nation celebrates and remembers the immortal words, "I have a dream." Martin Luther King Jr. was the most important Christian voice in the drive for civil rights in America. And his "I Have a Dream" speech changed a nation, and I believe the entire world, forever. This dream was born during a time of injustice. And the cause for freedom, calling for it. Equality and peace were sought. Thank God, also found. The days when America was in war with itself has gone over. It's in our distant past. Our nation healed again. The vision of the dreams and visions of harmony and unity amongst all people are still reverberating across the world. I remember the days when Mandela was in prison and I was one of the white minority, fearing that a third world was going to take us over because we were first world. It was not a racial thing. It was a civilization thing. Remember it so well. We were very pleased when those guys were imprisoned. We were. Can't deny it. But time has changed. And recently, when he received Hero's funeral, I also wept in my heart. Because he became the one to bring that nation together at times when they were so far apart. I am a bit worried too, talking about that country, because we know that since Mandela died, we are receiving warnings from our best friends in South Africa. We wanted to visit. They say, don't come here. It's never been danger, more dangerous than before. And this very morning, Tinka and I were talking because we had planned something for next year sometime. And we just realized we better be sure. What a world we're living in. But thank God for Martin Luther King. Thank God for Mandela. You know, in the case of Martin Luther King, even as an assassin's bullet was powerless to destroy the dream. People everywhere still give their all for ideals of justice, equality, and acceptance. And we as Christians, we believe in peace. We hope for peace. We pray for peace. So let us also share the dream and do our part to make the vision come true. Let us all still believe that one day every valley shall be exalted. Every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. That's my way of saying, oh, I pray for a better world. A better world still to come. You know, there it's maybe no coincidence, but come to think of it, a vision and a dream is also at the root of all Christianity. The story of our faith is the story of men and women who got close enough to Jesus to be inspired by a Jesus dream. You say, well, how do you bring those two together? Didn't Jesus speak about the coming kingdom of God? A kingdom of peace? Didn't he announce it right from the beginning of his earthly ministry? So since then, we as Christians define the kingdom of God in our hearts and our minds, and I hope and we hope it will come to us. The kingdom of God is a matter of righteousness. It's a matter of peace. And it's also a matter of joy in the Holy Spirit. What was so special about the dream, the vision that Jesus proclaimed right at the beginning of his ministry? He had God's kingdom in mind. Let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus had a dream of a changed, a different world with peace without war, love without hate, justice, righteousness without apartheid and discrimination. It was a message that conquered the hearts and hopes of the impoverished, despised, and overlooked people of his times who battled to make a living on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. What did Jesus say to them? How did he call them away? What did he say? Come on, come on. Here are his words. The kingdom of God is at hand. And they believed. And they followed. They believed that there was something better to come. Have you any idea what the Romans were doing to them at that time? What they had to undergo under a cruel oppressor? What was there in the promise of faith that Jesus brought into this world? The vision of a kingdom that got those ancient fishermen so very excited, making them willing to say, "Goodbye, Dad. We're called to something more important. We would like to catch fish with you as we always did. But we heard a call, and we need to heed that call." When I talk about all this, then one also wonders why so many Christians in our time seem to have lost their excitement about being Christians. Yeah, I know we understand much better. We have moved away from many things that our grandparents and even our parents still believed. But why have we become so lustless about God's kingdom? Is that why churches are running empty? And watch out anybody who tells me this church is running empty. What's happening with us is happening in every other church in Christianity across the world. And I refuse to take the blame for empty pews in this church. That is what's happening in our times. And we must face the reality, and we must adapt, and we must understand it's not about us, it's about the kingdom of God. And possibly it has something to do with the way and methods that some so-called fundamentalists, even in our times, try to force their convictions down your throat and mine. I will not stand it for it, and you need not stand for it. Give you an example. A certain woman heard that dogs were healthier if fed a tablespoon of cod liver oil each day. So faithfully, what she did was, she followed the same routine day after day. Started like this. She chased her dog, Fluffy, until she caught it. And then she had to wrestle it down. And then she finally managed to force the fishy remedy down the dog's throat. And then one day during the struggle, in the middle of this grueling, medicating effort, the bottle got kicked over. With a sigh, she let go of her grip on Fluffy so that she could wipe up the mess. But then the surprise came. Fluffy trotted over to the puddle and began lapping up the cod liver oil. That's what happened. See, the dog loved the cod liver oil. Fluffy was only objecting to the method of application. That's what I'm trying to tell myself and my colleagues. Don't push the gospel down the throat of people and force them and bind them with all sorts of promises. Jesus had a vision for the world, a dream, a picture of how life can and should be. Jesus saw a world where God ruled in every heart. Jesus saw a world of righteousness and peace and justice. A world of love, of harmony and unity. And he called it the kingdom of God. Let your kingdom come, O God, so that it can be on this horrible old world of ours, and that peace can finally take over. Forces, opposing forces, have destroyed most of the known world during the last century. Not only Europe, America, Japan, China, go across the world. What happened? Japanese were killing the Chinese. The wars were so intertwined that we could really say the world was at war with itself. And now it is a new century. Now we proclaim once again the coming kingdom of God, which is promised. We prayed for it. Let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We want it here. We want it in our hearts and our lives and amongst us. We call it the kingdom of God. And you know, how do you bring the kingdom of God to this world? Oh yeah, we can preach about it, but people who should hear it's not hearing it anyhow. But how do you let the kingdom of God come? And I believe that our faith does still contribute. Because we have an image of how it is when God made home in our hearts and our lives. There is no way that I can hurt someone else, gossip behind their backs, if I claim that God has taken hold of my life, of my heart. It changes us. And if your faith is no longer changing you, I plead with you in the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Allow him to change your thinking and your doing and your reasoning. And let's get excited about the possibility of a world without child abuse. A world without murder, without broken families or drug addiction. Just imagine a world without fear, without poverty, without disease. While the earliest Christians got excited, Jesus' dream also became their inspiration, and they believed that such a world was possible, and they gave their lives to see it become a reality. He was calling them, and he is calling us this very day in 2014 to introduce men and women to this kingdom of love and hope and peace. Oh, what a good dream never to wake up from, the kingdom of God on earth. Oh, for a world changed by God's presence in our lives, in our hearts. Wouldn't things change? Wouldn't it change for the better? The kingdom of God on earth. They would not be passive spectators of this coming kingdom. Those first disciples knew that in order to make it happen, they needed to become active participants. And that's what's so special about this Jesus of Nazareth. That's what's so special about his dream. It's a dream of the rule of God in every heart. It is a dream of a world freed from the grip of man's inhumanity to humankind. And Christ is still inviting ordinary people like you and me this very moment to follow him and to make the dream of a better world come true. Is that what one says after half a century in the pulpit? Oh, deep in my heart, I still believe that we shall live in peace someday.